Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar, your distribution source for electrical, networking, and lighting. Now, the Strike Zone on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
What a week for the Cardinals. Welcome to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. Chris Raby with you, 7:06 in St. Louis, a few hours after the Cardinals walked off the Colorado Rockies 3-2, scoring twice in the bottom of the ninth to complete a 5-2 homestand. Redbirds, four games out of the second wild card spot in the National League, and they have opened up a month of August in which every game, save for a handful, three against Miami next week, and three against the Kansas City Royals next week to polish off the final three-city road trip of the year, are against teams in the mix for the playoffs in the National League. Coming up, we're going to visit with Kyle McClelland. He will give us his take in our next segment on what has gone right for the Cardinals over the past week. When we talked last Thursday, Greg Holland, Tyler Lyons, still Cardinals, Brett Cecil, still active, Tommy Pham, still the starting center fielder. Since then, opportunities have been created for younger players by designating for assignment Holland and Lyons, by putting Cecil on the disabled list, by trading Tommy Pham. We have seen new pieces in the bullpen. We have seen new pieces in the outfield, and we've seen a Cardinals team win 2 of 3 against the Cubs and 3 of 4 against the Colorado Rockies. Starting at the bottom of the hour, Charlie Marlowe of Fox 2 is going to be with me. We will get Charlie's perspective on this past week for the Cardinals, where they go from here, not just in 2018, but also moving forward. Telephone number is 436-7900, 314-436-7900. Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the program. Mike Anderson is here in our KMOX studios. Going to hear from Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, in a moment on what was a very busy week, but we will also get your reactions. Not just a busy last week, but a busy first couple of weeks for Mike Shildt, who took over officially as the interim manager on Sunday before the All-Star break and a win over the Cincinnati Reds, went on the road, and then came home for a great trip. Cardinals winning back-to-back series this week for the first time since the first week of May. Before we hear from Mo, Rob has dialed in, and Rob is on KMOX, the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to give a vote of confidence to Still, because this guy's ham and eggs, okay? And I'm ham and eggs, and so I know ham and eggs. And you know, Rocky Balboa was ham and eggs. And it might be just what the club needs right now. I mean, if they go out and get some superstar manager, I mean, it's good. Think what that's going to cost, first of all. And I say it'll be a disaster. This guy has an open hand that is, you know, calm. And there's just a sense of good vibe with the club. I could be, you know, talking too soon, but I think the organization made a brilliant, masterful move when they hired Matheny. You know, this guy never managed, and he's picking up where La Russa finished off. You know, he's got big cleats to fill. And I thought he carried the torch well. I think he has a certain presence. But in the Cardinals organization, everything is magnified bigger. You see, 500 isn't good enough, is what the owner said. And so my vote goes to Still, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Rob. I'll tell you this. Mike Shildt, like a lot of these players, we talk so often about the Cardinals' ability to develop players in their minor league system and then bring them to the big leagues to succeed. And it often happens in the pressure cooker of postseason baseball. And what the Cardinals have done with Mike Shildt is exactly that. Plucked him out of high school and college coaching, a guy who never played pro ball, made him a scout, and then transitioned him to the role of a coach. And like a player in their farm system, they developed Mike Schilt, the coach. Mike Schilt, the manager. Mike Schilt, the leader. Now, I give him a lot of credit for the qualities that he brought to the table, just like a player that you draft has certain attributes that you value that you then say we can make the most of. And they have done the same thing in my eyes with Mike Schilt. And because of that, he is in lockstep, I think, with the way the Cardinals want to do things. Not to say that Mike Matheny wasn't, but Schilt has done it progressively at different levels. And aside from that, he's just a, you know, tremendously fresh breath of air in terms of the way he explains things. We'll hear a little bit from him next hour. But the way he goes about talking about his decisions, talking about the game, talking about what he saw, his process. And like selfishly, from a media standpoint, what more could you want? I mean, I'll bring Mike Anderson into the conversation for the first time tonight. Hello. And Mike, again, it's not a criticism, but like we listened to Mike Matheny and, you know, he did his thing, but every night it was kind of the same thing. Like, I find myself captivated by Mike Schilt's post games and his pre games with Mike Claiborne. It's just different.
Yeah, he's extremely open. He'll explain everything to a T, and you get a lot of insight from him. I think, especially towards the end of Mike Matheny, and not taking anything away from Mike, things just run their course. But sure. Especially towards the end, you know, you weren't quite getting as much that you didn't already see for yourself. But I think Mike Schilt does a tremendous job taking you behind the scenes and explaining what he was thinking, you know, multiple steps before what eventually took place.
Yeah, I agree. And like Theo Epstein even said it when he left the Boston Red Sox after an unprecedented run of success. He said, nothing good lasts forever, especially in sports. So Mike Schilt has been, I think his caller Rob just said it, he's been great. And the Cardinals have invested in him. And it has started to pay dividends. Let's hear a little bit from Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, after the trade deadline came and went this week and Tommy Pham was sent to Tampa. Some opportunities were created and some young players got chances at the big league level.
You know, I think we stated all along that we were looking to create some opening in our outfield. And when you look at where we were, I think staying status quo was not getting it done. Obviously, trying to create opportunity also for O'Neill and Bader was something that we thought we needed to do. And so when we were looking at all our options, the one thing that we felt gave us some future hope was to try to move Tommy now. It had to do with again, creating some opportunity for others. And look, performance matters too. And, you know, Tommy was someone that really, I think the sort of interesting thing is, I think as a front office, we were always one of his biggest advocates. I mean, he was in the organization for 12 years, injured a lot, a lot of ups and downs, but in the end, we were the ones that believed in him. I mean, most people that have his track record don't make it here. And I mean, I think it's a lot of his perseverance for sure and his talent, but you know, I do feel like a lot of people have asked about what was said earlier in the year, if we were offended. You can ask Tommy. I spoke to him 2 or 3 days after that article came out, and he asked me if I was mad at him. I wasn't mad. I mean, I was actually told him, I think I told him, I go, if you really felt like we gave up on you, what if we had?
That's Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, after the move that sent Tommy Pham to the Tampa Bay Rays. All right, we're going to keep an eye on the scoreboard tonight. They are just underway at Wrigley Field. No score in the middle of the first inning, the Padres and the Cubs. Right now, the Braves, a 4-1 lead over the Mets. No Pirates game tonight. 8 o'clock, the Brewers and Dodgers in Los Angeles. Cardinals 4 games back in the second National League wild card. Next, Kyle McClellan joins us, then Charlie Marlowe will be with us until 9 o'clock. That's What's on Deck, brought to you by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. Chris Raby with you. Ben Boyd is our executive producer. Mike Anderson in the house as well. It's a Strike Zone powered by Graybar. We're back after this on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Kyle McClellan joins us to kick off the Strike Zone powered by Graybar on KMOX. Kyle's always brought to us by Ameren, Illinois. Cardinals a 3-2 win over the Rockies, a 5-2 homestand. First time, Kyle, that they've won back-to-back series since the first week of May, which is maybe a little hard to believe, but a great week of baseball here at Busch Stadium.
Well, it was. I tell you what, this team is all of a sudden, they're a lot of fun to watch. With the youth that they have, and the pitching, and the more aggressive style on the bases, we're seeing guys stealing bags and being aggressive out there. It's just been a lot of fun, and you can tell the players are having fun. They go out there, they win some series back-to-back, and they're playing good baseball right now.
Yeah, let's start with some of the aggressiveness and certainly some of what we saw today. We saw a couple of dazzling plays defensively from Tyler O'Neill. We saw Harrison Bader steal second base after a single that sent the Cardinals to second and third and allowed Bader to score on Jose Martinez's gapper as the winning run. I know that you need players and you need personnel to execute like that, but Mike Schilt has not been shy about preaching that that's how they want their guys to play.
No, he has not been shy about it at all, and he's been forcing the issue. He's been keeping guys on their toes and keeping them aggressive. And look, when you're a player and you know that you have the backing to be aggressive and to make some decisions, it certainly is nice. And then it puts it in the front of your head, like, if I have an opportunity to be aggressive, I'm going to do it because the manager wants me to do it. And so I think that's what you're starting to see, whether it's defensively, whether it's on the bases, whatever that is. These guys are they're kind of responding to that, and like I said, it's been fun. It's been an energized team that, man, we just did not see that. We saw a flat team for majority of this season, and it's pretty amazing the change that we've seen in a short period of time.
Yeah, flat in terms of sometimes, you know, even today, to be fair, they went from, you know, the bottom of the fifth with two outs until the ninth inning until they had a base hit, but just taking chances, creating opportunities. Even Miles Michaelis going second to third on a ball in the dirt where Yadi put his hand up, you know, that's your pitcher. And for him to get into position and then score on a sacrifice fly by Tyler O'Neill, that said a lot.
Yeah, it does. And sometimes you don't want your pitcher doing that, but it worked out, and it was a huge run, obviously, that he was able to push across. So, it's a very distinct difference. You know, when you're watching this team, And from what we saw, it just looked like for a while there they were kind of going through the motions and just weren't out there having fun. They were just kind of showing up. And now, I mean, you can just tell. And, you know, they come from behind. They're not afraid to come from behind. They've done that from day one. This team has won a lot of games coming from behind, won a lot of games late. And, you know, these wins are adding up. These are big wins that they're able to get late in the game, come from behind, and walk it off here at home is always fun.
How about from a pitching standpoint? We'll start over the last 2 days. Luke Weaver goes just 2 2/3 last night. The bullpen comes in. You get 5 1/3 scoreless one-hit ball from Daniel Ponce de Leon, Austin Gomber, Jordan Hicks. You have guys come in and just pitch really, really well. Mike Myers gave up a run in the ninth inning, but you know, you roll 5 rookies out there. And then today, after the bullpen did such a great job, you get 7 strong from Michaelis, and then 2 scoreless innings from Brebbia and Chase and Shreve. What can you say about some of the new guys that have been thrown into new roles in the bullpen and the way they've responded?
Well, this is certainly the area that they've targeted in mixing it up and making changes and giving young guys an opportunity. And it worked out really well the last 2 days. Miles Michaelis did a great job today on a day that they needed him to get deep in the game, and he was able to do that. But you flash back to yesterday and the young guys coming up and having an opportunity to come in and pitching some pretty big moments. And I would say that, you know, what we saw yesterday's game was what we did not see all year from the bullpen. When they were behind or when they were close or, you know, in a tie game, their bullpen was not able to hold the lead, I feel like, for the majority of the year. And they weren't able to hold – if they were behind, they weren't able to hold it there, and the offense couldn't chip away. Yesterday, you got to see that, where the starting pitcher only goes 2 innings, the bullpen comes in and does a great job of holding it right there, and the offense is allowed to just chip away, run at a time, run here, 2 runs there, and next thing you know, they end up winning that game. And that's a huge part of having a good pitching staff, is having a bullpen that can keep it right there when you're behind by 2 or 3 runs. And to see the young guys do it is nice. The thing to watch with them is they don't have bullpen experience. A lot of these guys are starters, they're young guys. you know, how do they respond to this day off and throwing again back-to-back opportunities is yet to be seen, though.
I think we're going to see the pitching staff, Kyle, and you and I have talked about in 2011 what the bullpen did for you guys in the postseason. We're not to that point yet, but you're going to have to find innings. And with Carlos Martinez down for a few starts, with Michael Wacha still sidelined, with Luke Weaver being a bit inconsistent, you're going to need to get innings from not just Miles Michaelis and Jack Flaherty, but guys like Gomber and Ponce de Leon and Dakota Hudson. So you're going to need some big contributions. You might need a little bit of creativity, but you're going to need the whole staff to chip in, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. And you're going to have to find those spots when, you know, a game like yesterday where you can stretch some guys because your starter only goes two, but find those spots where, you know, you have a guy in there. Instead of burning through three different pitchers, I bet you're going to see them stick with one and keep the other two guys fresh and let the one guy go out there and throw two or three innings. And, you know, he's going to be down for 2 days, but you have other guys that can go the next day. Instead of going through, you know, everybody going for an inning, you have a lot of flexibility in what these guys can do out of the bullpen because they're all starters. They've all been starters in Memphis and are learning how to pitch out of the bullpen. And so it just gives you a lot of flexibility where you're not having to get guys out quickly. You can let them stay out there a little bit longer and try to free guys up and keep guys fresh for the next day or two.
Kyle McClellan with us on the Strike Zone powered by Graybar. Kyle, always brought to us by Ameren, Illinois. We've talked a lot about the roles of the pitching staff and guys in the bullpen. But from a lineup standpoint, as we talk about opportunities created for Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill, there have also been some opportunities that have been squeezed. Mike Schilt and his staff have talked about the fact that they want to focus on defense. And that means that at least for right now, Jose Martinez has found himself a bit squeezed out, despite the fact that, you know, he's been about a 300 hitter for the last season and a half with the Cardinals. Despite that, what do you appreciate about his attitude and about the way he produces when he does get an opportunity, even if it's off the bench, like in the ninth inning today, Kyle?
Yeah, well, he's a guy. Anytime you're around, he always has a good attitude. He's a high energy guy. He's a guy that a lot of people are attracted to just because of the way he goes about things. And you're never going to see him come in and complain and pout. You know, he's going to try to continue to work and get better defensively so he can have more opportunities. And he's going to maximize those opportunities he gets at the plate. I mean, that's where he's valuable, and that's where he knows that he can make a difference. In a game like today where he comes off the bench and has a huge hit for the team that they walk it off, and to see that celebration, I love those moments as a former player because I know the psychological defeat that you have throughout the season. When you're losing playing time, when you're seeing your at-bats get taken away and guys playing because people are saying you can't play defense, and then you show up in a moment like that and you can sift through all that noise and dial in and get a big hit there and celebrate a win for your team. Those are huge moments, individual wins right there along with a team win. And so I think, you know, obviously offensively he is so capable of doing a lot. I mean, he can come in and turn around a closer throwing 103, no problem. And so he's going to be a big asset to this team and to what he can do and continue to work defensively and see if he can plug in. But, you know, where this team has gotten in trouble is not hitting, but also by kicking the ball around and making some bad mistakes on the field. And so you got to kind of pick which team are we going to be. And Mike Shield has said, hey, we're going to play good defense and we'll figure out the offense.
Well, and which team are you going to be for the next month from now until August 30th, save for the six games at the end of the road trip next week against Miami and Kansas City? Every other game is against a team that's in the mix that you're chasing in the wild card. Pittsburgh, Washington, Milwaukee, the Dodgers, Colorado, Pirates again. I mean, it's there for you, but you've got quite the schedule coming up this month.
Yeah, you do. You know what's amazing is I was telling my wife the other day, I said, you know, here they're making these trades, the team's seven out of the division. You know, the wild card, they're what, four and a half, five out, but there's several teams in front of them. And I said, it just really is amazing what the 2011 team was able to accomplish, where, you know, is what, August 30th or whatever, 24th, and out by 10 and a half games and able to come back. It kind of put, you know, when you're in it, you kind of lose. You don't really know what's going on. You're just, hey, I'm showing up every day and we're trying to win. But it is really amazing at what that team was able to do. And then you wonder, like, could the team like this put on a run like that? Could they go and do it? And from their standpoint, you want to play teams that you're chasing. You want to play the teams that you can go up against and try to track them down. And so going down the stretch, there's nobody else I'd rather play than teams that were in it and that were playing for something, because it makes for good baseball and it brings the best out of everybody.
Yeah, I think we'll see what they're made of here. It begins tomorrow night, first game against the Pirates. Chris Archer makes his Pirates debut at PNC against the Cardinals and John Gant. 6:05 for the first pitch. I will have Ameren Total Access at 5:10. And Kyle McClellan, you are always brought to us by Ameren Illinois. Energy savings made easy. Learn how at Ameren.com/Illinois. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for kicking off the show with us.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
When we come back, Charlie Marlowe of Fox 2 is going to join me. We're going to talk, a ton with Charlie after a busy last week for the Cardinals since our last Strike Zone program. Of course, a lot of roster moves made. The Cardinals bringing some young guys up, creating opportunities. Trade deadline comes and goes, and a huge 5-2 homestand. That's next. Charlie Marlowe joins me on the Strike Zone powered by Graybar. Chris Raby with you. We are hanging out until 9 o'clock tonight, and we're back after this talking Cardinals baseball on your home for the Redbirds, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, it's great to have Charlie Marlowe from Fox 2 with us on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. We had Martin Kilcoyne with us, one of your compatriots earlier this year.
My underling.
Yeah, guy that you boss around.
Yep.
We've had guys from your radio station, 590, Tim McKernan, Jim Hayes. So great to have you in, man. Thanks for coming by.
No problem. Looking forward to it.
This is a interesting time to talk about the Cardinals for a variety of reasons. And you, like me, not originally from St. Louis. You've been here a little bit longer than I have, but it's incredible to think about, Charlie, and I'll let you give a little of your background. Just as long as you've been here, the Cardinals have been really, really good for the most part, or at least have been really, really interesting. Is that fair?
Absolutely. I've been here now. It's my 11th season covering the Cardinals, originally from Toledo, Ohio, worked a couple markets in Michigan, was in Lansing, Michigan for a couple years before I came here. Early 2008.
You're going to get Urban Meyer takes later?
Yeah, we'll get to that for sure. I'm a big Jim Tressel guy, so yeah, we'll transition to that. But so I get here in 08, and then you have 09, and we know about that postseason run. And then after 10, we're talking five straight years where, I mean, the Cardinals had magic for a while, where every time they go to the playoffs, you just expect them to beat the team they're not supposed to beat, and Kershaw the couple times, and they win the World Series in 2011, coming back from 11 and a half games. And so the last 2.5 years have been different, but I do think, you know, Greg Amsinger talked about St. Louis maybe being a bit spoiled.
Yeah.
I agree with that, because I feel like on Sports Talk Radio, we kind of discuss the Cardinals like they're 15 games under 500.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a couple games over.
I agree.
They still have a shot. That's how high the bar is in St. Louis.
Like 500 seems like the bottom's falling out. And I think that this past offseason was really the first time that there was like anger from the fan base. There was venom directed at the front office, directed at ownership, which, you know, I think with great success comes great expectation. And on one hand, you say, well, they've had this incredible run. You can't win the World Series every year. But on the other hand, you know, it's a fan base that, as Greg pointed out, and as a lot of people point out, you know, I think this year of just about the highest capacity in terms of the ballpark in Major League Baseball. You got people packing the park every night. You've got people packing Ballpark Village every night. You've got people going crazy over the offseason. So, you know, I think it goes both ways, but it does go to show the run that they've been on.
Yeah, and you can certainly fairly critique certain moves going back, let's say, three offseasons. You can talk about Mike Leake, Brett Cecil, Dexter Fowler, Greg Holland this year, and that's absolutely fair, but they are spending money. So you can say, okay, you wish they would have spent money in different places. But they are spending money. And look, we all know Giancarlo Stanton didn't want to come here. But the Cardinals were willing to take on the remainder of the largest contract in baseball history, something around $300 million. And again, Giancarlo Stanton goes to the Yankees. But the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Yankees, three teams that have all won World Series and multiple in the last 10 years or so, all were willing to take on that contract. So to say that they're not willing to go big, I mean, they tried. And Giancarlo Stanton, it was a different situation, so he was able to kind of pick his spot.
You know, and they, I think, as far as the money is concerned, you saw them eat a lot of the Mike Leake money. You saw them designate Greg Holland for assignment. I saw you make the point, and you can follow Charlie on Twitter for his scorching hot takes at @CharlieMarlowe_. No, you made the point that sometimes you have to do that. And the Red Sox, at the end of the Theo Epstein era, when he left to go to the Cubs, they had their incredible run of success, and they won World Series, And they also found themselves with Carl Crawford's contract and Adrian Gonzalez's deal, and they had to swallow a lot of that money and move those guys. And you can sometimes bite the bullet and have some down years, but then make decisions that are maybe not financially prudent, but you're in a position to make to fast-track yourself to get back on track.
Yeah, the way I look at it is, look, in baseball, we all know, it's not like the NFL where the money is not guaranteed. Once you sign that deal, you're paying the guy anyway. So, of course, you want to get production out of that person. But after a while, once you've tried, I mean, you're going to pay that person anyway. You might as well try to do it and still win games. And I was bringing up the Red Sox.
And get some other opportunities, right?
Absolutely, because, look, right now the Boston Red Sox are the best team in baseball. I understand it's not apples to apples. It's a bigger market. But, look, right now they're by far the best team in baseball. Look at what they did the last couple years. They basically eat about $50 million of the remaining Kung Fu Panda, Pablo Sandoval deal.
Yeah, and this was after the Crawford
year.
And the Gonzalez.
Right. This is like a different, the same situation we're talking
about. Different terrible contract.
The second time around. And then this year, Hanley Ramirez has about $15 million left, and they just said, you know what? It's not working. You're not helping us win. They eat that money. And again, they're the best team in baseball. So look, we like all these Cardinals guys, but once you've given them an opportunity, if things aren't working, with a guy like Brett Cecil, I know he has 2 years left and $15 million, but there's other better options. Dexter Fowler, he's gotten some more playing time once Mike Schild has taken over. We'll see what happens. But when you have some young studs in Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader, I understand Dexter Fowler's making a lot of money, but he's going to make it anyway. You might as well try to play the best guys to win. Look at the game today. I mean, you got young energy, guys making diving catches, guys stealing bases, Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill. I mean, these are some big-time prospects.
Yeah, the bullpen as well. It's remarkable what a bullpen makeover can do for your team going back to the Cubs series and then this series over the Rockies as well. So we're going to talk about the not just trades but the moves that the Cardinals have made over the last few weeks. We'll talk about it from a position side and also a pitching side with Charlie. Also, where do the Cardinals go from here? That's all coming up as we are hanging out until 9 o'clock tonight. It's the Strike Zone powered by Graybar. Chris Raby with you, Charlie Marlow from Fox 2 as well. And we're back after this on your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Charlie Marlow from Fox 2 is with us. It's the Strike Zone powered by Graybar. Cardinals beat the Rockies 3-2 today. They're 56-53. They are four games back for the second wild card, depending on how the dust settles tonight. Your point earlier, Charlie, was that it feels at 500 almost like the bottom's falling out. I'm kind of amazed that with the injuries they've had, and I know every team has injuries, we fly a little close to the sun. You fly close to whatever team you cover or root for, but think about Paul DeJong, Yadier Molina. You think about Holland not working out, the injuries in the bullpen, including Tyler Lyons, who was so good last year.
Alex Reyes, four
Alex
innings.
Alex Reyes, Michael Wacha, Adam Wainwright, Carlos Martinez now, a couple of stints on the disabled list. Just remarkable that, A, you are 56-53, but B, until I saw it last night, hard to believe this is only the first time you've won back-to-back series since the first week of May when you went 5-0 against the White Sox and Cubs.
And you beat two good teams. This has been a really nice homestand, taking two of three from the Cubs. The Colorado Rockies come in here about 10 games over 500, right in it, in the NL West.
Incredible lineup.
Right, very good lineup. The wild card as well, they're right in it. And you take three of four, and the margin for error, though, to win these games and to win these series, so slim. That's why you just got to feel great for the Cardinals winning in walk-off fashion, where it looked like for a while they were going to lose that game. But look, injuries, you shouldn't always use them as an excuse, but they're absolutely factors. I think one reason this year, maybe the fan base and media are saying, okay, I don't want to hear injuries, just because it's year three of potentially not making the playoffs. But any other year, I think, you know, it's absolutely fair to say, look, I mean, there's a lot of man games lost, if you use a hockey term.
Sure.
I mean, the New York Mets, they go to the World Series, what, 3 years ago? And all those young pitchers last year, tons of injuries there. So it's absolutely, you know, those are factors there. I just think this Cardinals team, and maybe they won't go on that 7 or 8 game winning streak, but they haven't yet. And you just wonder if they could still do that. And you have a big series coming up. I mean, can they just ring off 7 straight or go 8-1? And that's where all of a sudden we start to get really excited about it.
Yeah, it's 5 of 7 now as they go 5-2 on the homestand. And looking at the schedule for the rest of the month right now, it's crazy because it's tough, but you control a lot of your own destiny. Because save for Miami and Kansas City next week after Pittsburgh, those six games, every other game for the rest of this month until the 30th of August, and then the Reds come to town, but every other game is against the team that you're chasing. You go to Pittsburgh, then Miami and Kansas City, then home against Washington, Milwaukee, at the Dodgers, at Colorado, home against Pittsburgh. It's like money on the table time.
Yeah, and you know what? It shouldn't surprise any of us if the Cardinals play much better baseball these last 60 games or so. And I'm not saying just because of Mike Schilt, but when you have a culture change like that, I think it wakes everybody up. So you have a new manager, you have a new hitting coach staff, which you just have some new eyes on some guys that were struggling earlier in the year. And then just look at the infusion of energy. And I'm not talking just young energy guys coming up like, hey, we're glad to be here. We're talking about some stud prospects. So, yeah. Look, they DFA'd some guys that weren't performing. Let's be real. Greg Holland, that wasn't working out. Tyler Lyons was really good last year. They DFA him this year.
Couldn't stay hurt, no options.
Right.
Couldn't stay healthy, no options.
And Brett Cecil on the DL right now, we know that's not working out. You're bringing up guys. You're not bringing up just kind of the 27-year-old guy that's been in AAA for 3 or 4 years. You're bringing up some studs, some guys that are highly ranked prospects in Dakota Hudson, in Austin Gomber, in Daniel Ponce de Leon. And again, we mentioned Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill, who's a top, what, 60, 70-type prospect in all of baseball. It shouldn't surprise us that if these guys get more playing time over some of the other players that were DFA'd that weren't performing, all of a sudden you're going to see a better product.
And I think the key there is that at some point, guys don't have anything left to prove in the minors, whether it's Dakota Hudson or Jack Flaherty or Daniel Ponce de Leon or on the position side, Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill. But you also can't have them up here not playing. It's not going to do anyone any good to try and adapt to a big league game if they're getting one start a week or a handful of at-bats a week. So you need to have spots for them. And as much as I think everyone likes Tommy Pham, and recognizes that last year he was not just the best player on the Cardinals, but one of the best players in baseball and was an incredible story, he kind of regressed this year to what the majority of his career has been, the only outlier being that he stayed healthy this year. But if he's not in your long-term plans at age 30, going to arbitration where he's going to get a big bump, and you've got younger guys under control, and then two corner guys right now that are going to play, or Fowler at least is going to be here the rest of this year, you had to do something, right?
Yeah, and that's where we all understand the business of baseball. If the Cardinals could have parted ways with one outfielder, and it was Pham or Fowler, we know it would have been Dexter Fowler if the contract didn't come into play. But this is the business of baseball. The guy's making $18 million. Tommy Pham's making $570,000. You had to clear the way for one guy, and so you're gonna keep the contract to try to get some value out of that. But you did need to clear one spot. And now you have opportunities for Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill. And also, look, Dexter Fowler's gotten a lot of opportunity during this Mike Schilt era. But I wonder, as the Cardinals win 5 of 7, and if they get closer in the second wild card, if they were to get closer in the division, I think at that point, if the guy's not hitting above 250 and being productive, you have to start saying, look, we do have a chance to make something happen here. And that's where maybe Bader and O'Neill play almost every game.
I think it's fair to maybe wonder about some of the major league outfielders the Cardinals have traded away. And you can go back to, I guess, in the case of Alan Craig, you got rid of a contract and you had playing time for Oscar Tavares. You know, terrible what happened there. And then from a baseball standpoint, how that affected the franchise. You trade John Jay to get playing time for Randall Grichuk. You then trade Grichuk and Piscotty. So I think that's fair, but there has been kind of redundancy in some of the players and some of the profiles, I think, and some of the players you have. Oscar Mercado falls under that category. I guess fans can say, well, why would you trade him? He was exciting, but you clear a 40-man spot and, you know, a speed-first plus defense outfielder. I don't know if he was going to play in front of Bader. So you're able to clear some roster spots and get maneuverability, not just on the big league roster the rest of this year, but also going into the offseason and, you know, looking long-term, kind of stock some of the farm system at the lower levels with guys that you don't need to make a decision on right away.
That's why, wouldn't it be nice if Tyler O'Neill can just hit enough from an average standpoint, and look at the defense today, making some really nice catches, two nice catches, because you know, if he can even hit, what, 250, but more so OBP, take some walks, not strike out a ton, you know, if that guy's getting whatever it is, 500 plate appearances, he has 30 home run power.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I remember years ago, we all talked about that Memphis outfield for a while. And the best minor league outfield, Grichuk, Piscotty, Taveras, and this would be the outfield for the Cardinals for years to come. What happened with Taveras, obviously, as you said, such a tragedy on a human level and also a baseball level, because when you look at it from a baseball standpoint, that was their one position player prospect that was the dude.
Stunt.
I mean, he was the top five or the one.
It was the Chris Bryant.
Right.
Yeah.
In all of baseball, the Cardinals, for a decade plus, they've always been really good at drafting and developing arms, especially starting pitchers, but guys in the bullpen. I would say in more recent years, now you can look at this roster and say, okay, they drafted and developed Yadier Molina, but he's my age. Matt Carpenter, he's not a young guy. So I'm saying in the last 5 years or so, they haven't been able to develop that just stud 3-4 hitter in the lineup. Oscar Taveras, you would think, was going to be that guy. So that's why it'd be fantastic if Tyler O'Neill could be anywhere close to that. And like I said, just have enough OBP to stay out there and hit you your 30 bombs.
Yeah, I think, too, to see the aggressiveness now in the couple of weeks of Mike Shelton. You know, you can't wave a magic wand and get guys to all of a sudden be better base runners or be better defensively immediately. I think there was that assumption maybe with Oquendo coming back and Willie McGee coming into the fold, like, oh, well, you know, we'll be better defensively because Jose Oquendo's here. I don't think that's the case, but I think we're seeing and hearing Mike Shildt preach a lot of what they want to do. They want to preach aggressiveness. You know, Harrison Bader, who already has 11 stolen bases this year, but today, maybe on his own, maybe from the dugout, he takes second base. Paul DeJong overslides the base. Miles Michaelis, aggressive from second to third. We're starting to see them create some opportunities on the base paths. It doesn't mean they're going to be perfect the rest of the year, but you need not only the attitude and the encouragement of the staff for guys to take risks, but then you need the skill sets. And guys like O'Neill and Bader and DeJong and Colton Wong, I think those guys have the skill sets along with the implementation to maybe change the way this team has gone about creating some runs, maybe not be just station to station or live and die by the home run.
Yeah, and I don't want to overreact to 2 weeks, but I really do like what I see here in this first 2 weeks.
Got to start somewhere, yeah.
Right, absolutely.
And to hear the explanations of it, too.
Yes, and Harrison Bader, we're talking to him in postgame, and he basically said Mike Shildt's deal is you're either going to apply the pressure or you're going to feel it. And he says, look, I want to be the one applying it. And look, if you play any sport or just for fun, you know if you force your opponent to make mistakes, they probably will, and it's tougher for them all of a sudden. You know, they're playing defense all the time. I do think from a base running standpoint, it does seem like, and I'm kind of speaking anecdotally, but the last 2.5 years when the Cardinals have not made the playoffs, it seems like we did see a lot of sloppy baseball. And I can just remember some games lost and some mistakes on the base paths where it's not necessarily aggressive mistakes like you were talking about, but just kind of the making the first or the third out at third base. Whenever you break one of those rules that, like, my grandma knows, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Just the cardinal, no pun intended,
just
baseball
the,
rules.
Where you hear the groan from the crowd.
Right. Yeah. I feel like we saw a lot of things like that the last couple years. So hopefully that gets cleaned up. And again, it's only 2 weeks, but so far I've liked what I've seen.
All right, that's Charlie Marlowe, Chris Ribby with you as well. We'll take a break. We're going to come back and get in depth on some of the young guys. Want to talk some bullpen as well, because what a difference a couple of weeks can make. And then also how that will factor into the rotation. The Cardinals might be up against needing some innings. So we'll get to all that coming up on The Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. Chris Raby, Charlie Marlowe with you back after this, hanging out until 9 o'clock on your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX.
Welcome back to The Strike Zone, powered by Graybar, on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome to the second hour of The Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. I'm Chris Raby on Camo X, your home for St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Ben Boyd is our executive producer. Mike Anderson is our producer engineer here in the Camo X studios. And Charlie Marlowe hanging out with us until 9 o'clock. Building the future is powered by Graybar. And boy, oh boy, have the Cardinals got a glimpse into their future over the last week. The bullpen, the outfield, Cardinals giving opportunity to young players to shine. and they have taken full advantage. Last night, it was Harrison Bader, a 3-for-4 night with a couple of runs scored, a double, a stolen base. Today, both Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader getting in on the action. Bader starting in center field, O'Neill starting in right field. Both players contributing in big ways, and the Cardinals come from behind, 3-2 win over the Rockies.
There's a shot deep into right center on the move of the Cardinal right fielder at the wall at the 375 mark, and a heck of a play by O'Neill. That was a really good play. Boy, when he hits the ball, he hits it hard, and it goes in a hurry, doesn't he? Great play by the Cardinal right fielder O'Neill.
Sensatella with the next pitch. O'Neill hits a high fly ball. That's hit well to left field. Parra backpedaling, makes the catch on the warning track, and tagging and jogging home. Miles Michaelis, 1-0 Cardinals. Nobody out in the fourth inning. Here's a swing, and the ball is looped down the right field line, and on the run, O'Neill, a diving catch! He gets up, throws to the middle infield, tagging at second, Arenado goes to third. A diving play by Tyler O'Neill on a fair ball.
Man at first, one out, 2-1 pitch. Davis 2, Bader. Here it is. Little number into the right field corner. That could put runners at second and third, but Bader's going to stop at first base, and it's first and third. Tying run in scoring position at third base. The pitch 2, Martinez. The runner goes. The throw to second base is high, and he's safe there. So the potential go-ahead run now is in the scoring position.
That's 11 stolen bases for Bader.
Second and third, tying run at third base. It's a 2-1 Rocky lead. Jose Martinez at the plate, and the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a line drive to right field. Cardinals win this one on a base hit by Martinez, a walk-off hit. In to score Bader, and the Redbirds win it 3-2. Three hits in a row, and quickly, the game sneaks away from the Rockies, and it goes to the Cardinals.
Bader after his big bottom of the ninth, and what the Cardinals have done in terms of aggressive play lately.
You know, the coaches has enough confidence in me to give me the green light pretty much all the time, so it's really just up to me. But, we put a lot of preparation into every aspect of the game, and that's definitely one of them. So, it's awesome seeing it kind of come out on the field when you prepare for it. Relatively big situation, just came through for my teammates, so a lot of fun. I think a lot of that obviously comes from each individual, but, you know, the big thing that Schilty's all about is always applying pressure because, he's always saying you either feel it or you apply it. So, I know speaking for myself, I'd rather be on the side of applying it.
Mike Schilt on Bader's big bottom of the ninth after a day in which he had gone 0-for-3, also struck out with the bases loaded in the bottom of the sixth.
This is what Harrison demonstrated yesterday. You know, tough at bat, two strikes, battled, demonstrated today. You know, he makes adjustments. That's what we always ask all our players to do, especially important for a younger player. But outstanding job on his part. You know, to have a good approach, stay with it, just take what the game gives you.
And I thought this was great, too, and asked about Bader's confidence after a game in which he had struggled all day. Schilt said,
I've never seen a lack of confidence in Harrison Bader. It's one thing I always appreciated when he got to AAA, is here's a guy that, it was a trait that it's really hard to teach. He's got, Joe Torre already said it about Derek Jeter. I'm not comparing the players, I'm just making the analogy. I don't compare players, but he's got inner conceit. You know, he believes in himself, and that's a great trait. And Harrison has always confidently played, knowing he's got ability. And when you struggle, and we talk about that too, remember you've got the ability. But Harrison's a good player.
It was O'Neill in right field making two highlight catches today. Of course, him and Bader both getting a chance to play today.
I feel like we're both very good players. He can play defense. I can play defense. He can hit. I can hit. Just getting the opportunity to show everybody what we can do is all we can do.
Bader's perspective on O'Neill's dazzling defense.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that was a hell of a catch in a little quirky kind of corner down the right field line. So that was awesome.
And Harrison on if things have turned around in the Cardinals clubhouse.
I mean, sure. But, at the end of the day, regardless of what's going on kind of behind the scenes, you know, we're all professionals. We're all going out there and playing hard. I just think that we're just kind of playing good baseball. and we've always been talking about that all season. When's our best baseball going to show up? And I think that we're just going out there and just doing that.
So four games back for the second National League wild card right now. And how about the schedule moving forward? Three in Pittsburgh, then Miami and Kansas City, the only two teams that are not in the thick of the playoff race right now, before coming home for Washington and Milwaukee, a seven-game homestand in 7 days, the Dodgers and Colorado on the road, and then Pittsburgh at home. You're going to see what the Cardinals are made of over this next month, and we're going to see a lot from the young players that are now getting chances, not just Bader and Tyler O'Neill, but the Cardinals are going to have to find some innings. This is one thing that Charlie and I will talk about over the rest of this hour. For as good as the bullpen has been, there are still some injury concerns and some inning concerns in the rotation. Carlos Martinez now going to miss a couple of starts. Michael Wacha is still sidelined and has not officially begun his path back. Hasn't been cleared to throw a bullpen. Miles Michaelis has been great. Jack Flaherty has been great. Some questions about Luke Weaver. You've got Austin Gomber, Daniel Ponce de Leon, Dakota Hudson. So there will be some opportunity for pitchers to not only step up out of the bullpen and make a difference, but also fill some innings, because the Cardinals are going to need that in their rotation. We always talk about how many pitchers you have, how many spots there are for the rotation, and then we always, at this time of year, deal with guys getting injured. It's just something that happens in the big leagues, and it's something that every team has to deal with and every team has to solve. But a lot of young players making massive impacts. Building the Future is powered by Graybar. Quick break. Charlie Marlowe back with me until 9 o'clock as we talk Cardinals. What a week it's been, and what a post-trade deadline. A couple of days it's been with the Cardinals. They've won 5 of 7, a 5-2 homestand. They come from behind to walk the Rockies off 3-2. And we're back after this talking baseball until 9 on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We are hanging out with Charlie Marlowe from Fox 2 on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. Chris Raby with you. Cardinals 3-2 over the Rockies today, a 5-2 homestand where they take 2 of 3 from the Cubs and 3 of 4. From the Rockies, Charlie, we've talked about some of the young position players that are going to get chances. Tyler O'Neill, Harrison Bader, specifically in the outfield. But how about some of the pitching? The bullpen has been great since the Cardinals made some overhauls. Greg Holland, Tyler Lyons, designated for assignment. Brett Cecil put on the 10-day disabled list last week. That allowed them to recall Daniel Ponce de Leon, Tyler Webb. They purchased the contract of Dakota Hudson, who also falls under the category of nothing left to prove in AAA. They make the trade of Luke Voit to the Yankees. Chasen Shreve is added into the bullpen. And the last two games especially. Last night, Luke Weaver lasts just 2 1/3. The bullpen goes 6 1/3. It was one-hit shutout baseball. Mike Myers gave up 1 in the 9th, but still shut it down against the middle of the Rockies order. Today, 2 hitless, scoreless innings, 8 1/3, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 2-0, for whatever that's worth. I guess you could argue yesterday the bullpen deserved the win today. Michaelis pitched great. But, again, not to react too much to a small sample size, but I think, A, you've got a bunch of new guys, so maybe a little more fluidity, and you're not trying to stick guys into roles because they're Greg Holland and they were an all-star closer. And, B, it's just a fresh look, and for fans who have banged their head against a wall all year with some of the same frustrations after hearing that the bullpen was going to be fixed this offseason, it's got to be at least fairly exciting to see some of the results that some of these young players have had out of the pen.
I loved what I saw out of the bullpen in that Luke Weaver game. And obviously, you want your starter to go and get out of the third inning. But I've been kind of talking about this all year, mostly early when Jack Flaherty started the year in the minors. Another guy, as you said, where nothing left to prove down there. And I understand the construction of the 25-man and the 40-man roster, but I always feel like when you have these studs at AAA, I just feel like the way baseball is changing, couldn't you see some of these guys who are good starters at AAA but don't necessarily have a spot in the big leagues? Isn't it the perfect spot to let them basically relieve and, let's say, go through the order one time?
Yep.
And if that's an inning and 2/3 or 2 1/3, and I'm telling you, the guys the Cardinals have right now, I feel like, are perfect for that. And we saw that. And look, they're going to struggle. But right now, you have an innings count with some of these young guys, Weaver, Flaherty, that are probably going to get to a point where, I don't know if you have to skip starts or limit their pitch count, I mean, you're telling me that Dakota Hudson, Austin Gomber can't come in and give you 2 2/3 or an inning and 2/3 or 2 1/3. And I think we're going to see more of that in baseball. And I absolutely think it makes perfect sense with the group the Cardinals have.
I think you're exactly right. Even with Austin Gomber pitching an inning last night, he's going to go on Saturday. The Cardinals did that with John Gant already. And I think to your point, we've seen it in the postseason. I think you'll start to see it a little bit more in the regular season as the year goes on. It takes a little ingenuity, but baseball is a copycat league. And even the Yankees right now, like, they're just acquiring pitchers and really, really good pitchers. And it doesn't necessarily matter. Lance Lynn goes in the rotation. Lance Lynn goes in the bullpen. He saved their bacon yesterday. They almost came back in a game. They were down 5-0 in the second inning because Sonny Gray imploded. He threw like 5 innings of scoreless baseball. So, again, you can't do the Andrew Miller thing, but I think you can have a group of bullpen arms that are pitchers, and maybe you say, we don't, you know, for so long we've been hung up on getting, not we, you and me, but the baseball industry or maybe certain guys sitting in dugouts, we got to get this guy through 5 innings to try to get him a win. Well, if you get Luke Weaver, Jack Flaherty, 3 scoreless, 4 scoreless, then you can go 2-2-2. Like, why wouldn't you? I think just good pitching is good pitching. Maybe arbitrators and agents and the union wouldn't be thrilled about that, but you're trying to win baseball games, and I'm sure Dakota Hudson would rather be in the big leagues pitching every couple of days right now than in Memphis throwing 7 innings every 5 days.
Absolutely, and I don't think necessarily you're going to see what the Rays are doing with the opener all across baseball. They have a unique situation.
And you're also still going to have your Miles Michaelis and your car, you know, you're
exactly
still going to need innings.
And that's where, whenever you bring up this argument, which to me is really fun to talk about, of course, if you have Clayton Kershaw or Max Scherzer, you're not going to throw him for 2 innings. If you have the absolute stud aces, yeah, you go out there and eat and go 7 or 8 or 9 innings. But look, if you have a guy where the numbers say, and we've seen this in years past with Michael Wacha before, and there's some talk about Weaver. If you say, look, third time through the order, it just doesn't make sense for him to go back out there unless we have a big lead, then it totally makes sense to throw that guy for 4 or 5 innings. And then, yeah, bring in that second reliever who's started in the past that can give you multiple innings. I understand we've seen this in the playoffs. And look, playoffs is a different animal. There's a lot of off days. You can't replicate that apples to apples during the regular season. But I totally agree with you that I think in the future of baseball, we're going to see more just pitchers. Guys that can give you, let's say, an inning and 2/3 to about 3 innings that can bridge the gap to maybe your lockdown 8-9 bullpen guys. I really think we're going to see that.
And, you know, when John Mozeliak has been asked, hey, would you ever go to a 6-man rotation? And, you know, during the offseason, we always play the game. Oh, you've got 9 guys for 5 rotation spots. And then, you know, always guys get injured. You know, even Lance Lynn, the horse, had to have Tommy John surgery. So it happens. But he has said, you know, I'd actually rather go to a 4-man rotation and shorten things and then have guys that can come in out of the bullpen. And, you know, maybe, you know, outside of your Kershaws or your Michaelis, maybe you're just asking the guy to get 4 or 5 innings, go a couple of times through the order, and then you turn things over to the bullpen. I think we're seeing guys that are more versatile too. Gone are the days of the lefty setup guy, or the guy, the lefty one-out guy who comes in and gets an out. And, you know, like you said, if you can shorten the game, it doesn't really matter how you do it. If you can shorten the game and get the ball to your best pitchers, look at what the Brewers have done. Everyone thought that their starting rotation was going to be a big vulnerability, but if they only need 5 innings from their starter and then they turn it over to that bullpen, they've had a lot of success doing that.
Yeah, and every team is different. So again, you have to kind of look at your personnel. But if you talk about the Brewers, Jeffress, Knebel, Hader, and then look at the Yankees. Now, the Yankees probably don't need to go that middle reliever type when you can basically go 4 closers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go what? Right, left, David Robertson, Zach Britton, Dellin Betances, Aroldis Chapman. That's a whole different ballgame. But I do think for this year's Cardinals team, and it's not just right now, because I think we've seen this all year, let's be real. Some of these relievers that we all counted on to be the guys in the bullpen either didn't perform or were injured. And it's not just one. We're talking 4 or 5 if you mention, again, injuries plus underperformance, Gregerson, Leon, Cecil, Lyons, Holland. So that's why I think this year was frustrating when you would see them run out the same guys. And I understand you have to give them a chance to try to get out of it. But then you heard about Flaherty at Memphis, and you heard about Dakota Hudson at Memphis, and Ponce de Leon putting up numbers, and Austin Gomber, and we all kind of thought to ourselves, aren't they better options? I understand these guys are under contract and they're making money, and look, it's only been a couple weeks, but I think we're seeing they are better options. They're better pitchers right now, and they're helping the Cardinals win games.
Right now, we know that it will be John Gant who goes in the first game of the Pirates series tomorrow. We're going to see Austin Gomber on Saturday. I kind of wonder how some of these pieces fit moving forward. Carlos, they're saying they hope just misses a couple of starts. Michael Wacha, who knows, because he hasn't even been cleared to throw a bullpen yet. You've got Miles Michaelis. You've got Luke Weaver, who, so you go to the bullpen. You've got Gomber, Ponce de Leon, Hudson. You've just got kind of a lot of these pieces. And as exciting as I think the bullpen emergence has been, you may find yourself in a bit of an innings crunch if Carlos's injury is longer than we think, if Wacha doesn't come back, if Weaver remains a question mark. How do you try to fill that? Is it Gomber and Ponce de Leon if you're trying to limit Hudson's innings?
I also think, and I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but you mentioned Carlos Martinez and Michael Wacha. I'm very interested to know what the Cardinals' plan would have been for the trade deadline if those guys were healthy. Because I think the Cardinals might have made more moves, but this trade deadline, it was hard to do so. With Bud Norris, rental closer, if he goes somewhere, he's probably a 7th or 8th inning guy. You're going to get what? Somebody's 22nd-ranked prospect?
Nothing, yeah.
Does that make sense? Probably not. Jose Martinez, an AL player. There's only 6 teams in the American League that have a chance this year. Maybe this next offseason, you can reset. More teams want to improve their team for 2019. And I love Jose Martinez, but I think we all know maybe fits better in the American League. But you talk about the pitchers. We've all kind of discussed if you could get that impact bat, the Gleyber Torres, if that's to the Yankees. If there was any idea that deal might happen, well, Carlos Martinez is hurt. And the Yankees aren't going to take that guy if they want him for 2018. Same with Michael Wacha. Let's be honest. If the Cardinals want to sign a pitcher, what do?
He kind of yeah.
They get him early, and they usually buy out some free agent years. And Michael Wacha, they haven't done that. So I would think Michael Wacha probably won't sign a free agent deal with the Cardinals. So there you go. He was having a good year. So if Michael Wacha has a year and a half of control and the Cardinals say, hey, we have spots next year that we can fill with a Dakota Hudson, maybe Wacha is a guy that has trade value to another team. But I think this trade deadline was weird with both Wacha and Martinez hurt.
I wonder how the rotation looks moving forward. If it literally will be Michaelis, Gant, Gomber, Flaherty, Weaver, and then when Carlos comes back, maybe he fills in for Weaver, maybe Gant, maybe it's Ponce de Leon, but I think that's a question that they're going to have to answer. In any event, you do have some options, at least right now. I don't know if Austin Gomber and Daniel Ponce de Leon are going to take no-hitters into the 6th or 7th inning every time they go out, but still, at least a little bit of excitement. We'll take a break, come back, want to talk some more big picture stuff with Charlie next. Also talk in terms of the division, what's realistic for the rest of this year, and then moving forward. We've talked a lot about the young guys, but are there other options for the Cardinals? It's the Strike Zone powered by Graybar. Chris Rabe with you, Charlie Marlowe from Fox 2 as well, and we're back after this, hanging out until 9 o'clock on your home for Cardinals Baseball, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Couple more segments with Charlie Marlowe from Fox 2 on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar and KMOX. Chris Raby with you, Ben Boyd, our executive producer. Mike Anderson is my guy here in the KMOX studios. Coming up in our next segment, we'll get to some rapid fire questions, but I want to keep rolling on some of the big picture stuff right now. Cardinals over the Rockies 3-2, 56-53 now. And the talk after the trade deadline from John Mozeliak and from Mike Shildt, not surprisingly, was we are contending this year. You know, we are making moves for the future, but also moves because we believe that we can make the postseason this year. It is the 2 wild card era, so I think a lot of teams believe that, which I think might lead to less activity at the deadline sometimes. With the personnel this team has right now, Charlie, how realistic is it to believe that they can not only play well enough to get themselves into position and battle some of their own demons, but also jump the handful of really good teams that are ahead of them for the wild card right now. Because you're talking about the Cubs and the Brewers at the top of the National League Central, the Pirates, who are right there with the Cardinals, and then a really, really good group with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks and the Rockies and the Braves. I mean, it's a lot of really good, the Nationals right on their heels. It's a lot of really good teams that they're going to have to jump over if they're going to have a realistic chance to stay in this.
I guess you're hoping, too, for some of the teams you'd say are a year ahead of schedule, maybe Phillies, Braves.
Phillies, Atlanta, yeah.
Are they not ready for the big stage? Do they fall back?
Which is why I kind of think the Nationals have as good a shot of either of those teams in the division.
Absolutely. I just think, like, I'm not saying I would bet on the Cardinals to get to the playoffs, but really in the second wild card era, we'd be silly to write off any team if you're five games back or whatever it is with 55 games to play. We've seen crazy things happening. And again, I'm not saying you should bank on that, but to say this team is done, I mean, you're going to look bad because we've said that a lot with teams over the years, and all of a sudden a team loses nine straight, another one wins 8 of 10, and the scenario looks totally different there. I just think with this Cardinals team, it didn't make sense for me for them to make big additions or subtractions.
And what really, I guess with the injuries to Carlos and Waka, you could say they could have gone out and gotten a starter. But outside of Chris Archer, who that you would have acquired would maybe be worth more than Dakota Hudson if you plug him in, or Jack Flaherty or Gomber or Ponce de Leon? I don't think you're getting a front end of the rotation guy. And then, as frustrating as the lineup is at times, where would you have plugged somebody into the lineup right now?
Absolutely. And look, that's why I think in the Cardinals lineup, they're just the stud. I know it's not easy to get that guy. You either have to have a Manny Machado want to come here and give him the biggest offer, or you have to trade some legit pieces, which the Cardinals have. They have Carson Kelly. They have starting pitcher depth. They have outfield depth. And put a package together. I don't know who it is out there, but the Cardinals have to get that guy. I just think with this team this year, it just didn't make sense to do either of those things. We had some people complaining, oh, they didn't do much. Well, what'd you expect? I mean, they're at 500. They're not that bad. I heard somebody kind of compare them with the Orioles. Oh, the Orioles said, okay, it's best to just destroy the house, knock it down. Of course, when you're 40 games under.
And when you know you're going to lose Manny Machado.
But the Cardinals, at their worst, are what? 500 or a couple games over? So we're talking about probably two moves away from being a 90-win team. And that's not just me being optimistic. That's just the truth. If a couple other moves work better this year, if Greg Holland works or Alex Reyes is healthy, they're probably close to a tie for the second wild card, and maybe they add a little bit at the trade deadline. That's how slim the margin of error is. And again, we're not talking about a team that's 12 games under or 40 games under like the Orioles. They're three games over right now. So it'd make no sense. When I heard people saying, should you trade Matt Carpenter? Should you trade Yadi? Marcelo Zuna? Do you not want to be good in 19, in 20? I mean, are you punting on the next couple years? This isn't a 2 or 3 year rebuild. I want Matt Carpenter to be the Cardinals' first baseman for the next couple years. I actually think Marcelo Zuna is going to have a huge year next year at age 28 in his free agent year. He can't play any worse than he did the first 100 games of this season. I just think it's kind of, you know, nowadays we see the Astros and the Cubs do that tear down rebuild, and it's worked. They've won World Series. The model franchises in baseball don't do that. Do the Yankees ever do that? Do the Red Sox ever do that? Even though the Red Sox have had some bad years, do the Cardinals ever do that? They shouldn't need to do that. You should try to win every single year and then tweak and retool and try to do it again the next season.
Yeah, I think that the last couple of years, too, if you look at,
the Giants don't do that.
No.
They try each
Giants
year.
Giants added.
Correct.
I think people thought they were crazy, and then they were in the mix in the National League West. But, you know, I do think that, and I had Eno Saris on from Fangraphs a couple of weeks ago, one of these, you know, super analytically driven guys who just said the Cardinals essentially have had bad luck, and you can look at standings for that, luck standings. He said the Cubs' offense has been really lucky in terms of Javier Baez and Ben Zobrist, and he said, like, you kind of expect things to regress up to the mean, and maybe that happens by subtracting guys who have been killing you and just getting average performances. You know, Mike Myers versus Greg Holland, if that had been the guy all year, maybe you're looking at two more wins. Maybe you look at offense regressing up. Matt Carpenter has regressed up to, you know, maybe even what we didn't think he was going to be at the beginning of this year. But at some point, water kind of finds its level. And I think because of that, nobody thought this team was going to win 100 games this year, but you kind of thought, yeah, maybe between 85 and 90 wins, and that'll keep you in the thick of it until the last week, and I think that's certainly reasonable.
Yes, and at the end of the day, in most years, and look, I know Dexter Fowler's having a really rough 2018, but usually these guys with enough plate appearances get back to close to what the back of their baseball card is. A guy like Marcelo Ozuna, we know he was fantastic last year. That was his absolute best year. Other years, he was more like 23 home runs with a 455, 460 slug. And we've seen this year, this guy's super streaky. That first couple weeks of June, he hit 7 bombs in about a two-week span. We saw him homer in 3 straight games. So you got to think he has another run, you would hope. And maybe he gets to 20 home runs, which again is going to be a letdown coming off 37. But still, if Marcelo Ozuna gets you 22 home runs, and again, you can call me crazy, I think it'd be nuts to sell low on Marcelo Ozuna.
Yeah.
I would bank on him. And again, maybe it's not 37, but having a really big 2019 for the Cardinals.
And here's how I would also frame that. And let's say that Tyler O'Neill, Harrison Bader, Dexter Fowler, two of those three guys are playing every day. If you need that kind of middle-of-the-order MVP-type guy outside of Matt Carpenter, the guy that you thought you were getting in Ozuna, if you were to part with Ozuna and not get much back for him, how would you go and get that guy this offseason? And would it be someone with the potential that Ozuna brings to the table? Maybe he's not right. We know that he can't throw. We know that he's hitting a lot of singles.
He has a corn on his foot.
Statistically, he's hitting the ball harder this year than he ever has. So maybe he's just running into bad luck and hitting line drives. Maybe the protection behind him wasn't great for a lot of this year, especially with the DeJong injury. But would you bet on going out to get someone that you think would be able to make as big an impact as Ozuna next year this offseason again? And what would you have to give up for them?
Absolutely. You have to do that. Again, you have to get the dude. You have to get the guy that's the 3-4 hitter. If I'm the Cardinals, if I was willing to take on a $300 million contract for a corner outfielder with power like Giancarlo Stanton.
And overpaid Dexter Fowler by however much.
Manny Machado is an MVP candidate, third baseman, shortstop. Those guys don't fall off trees.
Try to offer.
That's 26. He's not 30 or 31. That's the guy you break the bank for. So as long as the Cardinals try, I get it if Manny Machado doesn't want to come here.
Tried with David Price.
Right,
tried with Jason Heyward.
Yeah, and I think the Cardinals will try to do that. If you can't get him, then look to the trade market. Look, I was, as much as anybody, thinking Marcelo Ozuna could be a big answer for the Cardinals. I think we've realized this year he's not that guy.
Yeah.
But look at the other position players you have. If you can actually get the 3-4 hitter, that's the constant. Look at those, and I'm using air quotes, complementary pieces. If Matt Carpenter, Paul DeJong, Marcelo Ozuna, and Yadier Molina, who doesn't age, if those guys are now complementary pieces to the man in the middle, that's a hell of a lineup.
So I think the question then becomes, and again, not to totally brush off the rest of this year, but looking towards how this team can get better, I think there are a couple of routes. I think you can get better defensively, and if you can do that with a glove-first shortstop and plug Colton Wong in every day and say, Colton, we're going to live with whatever you hit. I think he's better when he plays every day. One of the best defensive infielders in baseball. We're going to put a shortstop next to you, move DeJong to third. Do you try to pick up that impact guy like Machado, play him at third or shortstop if he wants to play short? Do you move Matt Carpenter around, try to find that guy to play first? I'm not sure you've got room in the outfield right now unless you do say goodbye to Ozuna. Where do you find that guy? What does that guy look like, and how does he change the way the team looks?
I think that's a really tough question. I wish I had a great answer for you, but it seems like everybody's going to want...
Machado, by the way, has been miserable defensively at shortstop this
year.
Like, easily the worst defensive shortstop.
So maybe he's your third baseman there. But look, if it's not Machado, and everybody's going to want Machado, and you never hear Bryce Harper as a name for the Cardinals, probably doesn't make sense for whatever reason if he wants to stay in the big city. But we kind of always look towards this offseason. We always talked about Josh Donaldson. This guy has not been able to stay healthy at all. Plus, he's older. So, I mean, are you going to bring him in now as your kind of impact bat? We've discussed Nolan Arenado, who will be a free agent the next offseason. Are the Rockies going to trade Nolan Arenado? I mean, they're competing right now. So, again, I don't have that answer. It's really, really tough to get those impact position players. you look at the Astros and the Cubs, they got those guys, but they got them for the most part because they had the number one and number three picks.
Drafting
and,
all bats.
I mean, George Springer and Carlos Correa and Chris Bryant, and they did trade for Anthony Rizzo and got him, but Javier Baez, we're talking big time draft picks, not the 19th bucket, not swimming in the 19th bucket, which John Mozeliak, like I said, we're talking about swimming in the first bucket, in the third bucket, in the sixth bucket, getting those picks. And that's where those stud position players that are five-tool guys, they're usually going in the top five, top 10 picks.
So, again, I wonder how you try to change the complexion of the team. Carpenter, to me, is really interesting because I think we've said the last few years, like, you got to find somewhere for him to play consistently. He's put up the offensive numbers that he has this year while he's moved everywhere. He's played first, he's played second, he's played third. The only thing he's really done consistently, really, is hit leadoff since Dexter Fowler fluttered there again. But, you know, even with him kind of in the last couple of years of his deal, I wonder if you try to stick him someplace. Do you try to move him around? Is Jed Jerko a piece? I think there's a lot of questions to be answered, but certainly I think you got to fix lineup and you got to try to fix what you've dealt with defensively. Maybe that's with a glove for a shortstop. You move DeYoung to third. I don't know. Maybe that changes the complexion of the team as much as a guy who had hit 30 home runs, because you're costing yourself a lot of outs with some of the defense you've had up the middle the last couple of years.
Yeah, I would love to be able to explain why Matt Carpenter basically should only hit leadoff, but I can't. And part of me
loves... But also can play every position.
Right. But part of me loves that because I love the blend of the old school and the analytics. And again, I just think sometimes we go too far with the analytics. And I love the fact that some of the saves out there, who I have all the respect in the world for, you can't explain why Matt Carpenter's OPS is always like 160 points more. And you know what? I think it's as simple as comfort. It really is with some people. These are human beings. Tony La Russa said, men not machines. And if some guys want to just hit in a spot and it works and you can't explain it, who cares? Because the dude's one of the best hitters in all of baseball.
I guess analytically, it would be the explanation Mike Schilt gave, which is really obvious. It doesn't matter why he performs there, but the reason he should be there is because you want your best offensive player to get the most plate appearances.
Right, but it's just weird.
It's so weird.
That it's such a big
disparity. But it's numbered, but it's, yeah, and it's there.
That's why you can't even argue about it. You just got to say, that's just the way it is. I mean, if his OPS was different by, let's say, 15, 20, 30 points from first to second to third to fourth, nobody would care. And you'd say, just hit him wherever it makes sense with the other guys in the lineup. He is so good, literally historically, in terms of leadoff hitters in all of baseball, you just keep him there and you don't even wonder why anymore.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Not broke. Matt Carpenter putting up MVP caliber numbers right now, right at the top of the National League in a lot of different offensive categories. So we're going to fire some rapid-fire questions at Charlie Marlowe. When we come back on the Strike Zone powered by Graybar, Cardinals take 3-4 from the Rockies, a 5-2 homestand. They open a series in Pittsburgh tomorrow night, and you'll hear it right here on your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Final segment of the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar on KMOX. On a Thursday night, Cardinals a 3-2 walk-off win over the Rockies. They complete a 5-2 homestand and now head to Pittsburgh. A massive, massive stretch of baseball coming up for this club over the next month as they are still within arm's reach of the second wild card spot in the National League. We've been talking about it all night with Charlie Marlowe from Fox 2. If you missed any of our conversation, check out the podcast on iTunes and at KMOX.com. Okay, a couple of rapid-fire questions for you before we wrap up. Outside of 2011, best Cardinal game and best non-Cardinal sporting events that you've been to?
Oh, man. Okay, let me go non-Cardinal because I can't think of a good
Ohio
Cardinals
State?
One right now. Now, look, there's one team, and I've lived in St. Louis now for 10-plus years, so of course I root for the... I always want the Cardinals and the Blues and back in the day the Rams to do well because it's great for the city, it's great for morale, and it's great for business.
Which is what I explain to people when I get accused of like being a Cub fan.
Right, but...
Of course I want the Cardinals to win.
And it's more fun for our work. If you work
Absolutely,
in TV and
man.
Radio, you're telling me you don't want to go in October and go to the World Series, the NLCS, and cover
Absolutely.
Great baseball. But the one team I really care about that I would say emotionally still affects me and always has been is Ohio State football. So that's the one team that I still get up for. Obviously, right now, a lot going on with Urban Meyer there. But I was lucky enough, and I volunteered. I said to Fox 2, look, I will keep this really cheap. I will drive there myself. I will shoot it myself. I'll stay in the cheapest hotel to cover that national championship game, the first college football playoff national championship game. It was at Jerry's World in Dallas. And you had a good story, though, because Ezekiel Elliott from St. Louis went off, if
you're
you
like
remember.
A part of the Elliott family now.
A little bit. So we got great stories, though, with the family, with Zeke, with his high school football coach, John Merritt, over at John Burroughs. So again, to be an Ohio State football fan, to get to cover the team you love,
that's awesome,
winning the national championship, it's hard to top that. But then again, I mean, 2011, when you get to watch a team win the World Series, that's awesome. I'm trying to think of a non 2011.
Did you travel for like the 2012 or the 2013 playoffs?
I pretty much traveled.
Were you at the Nats game 5?
That was the one game I wasn't at, but I traveled all through 13. So that World Series.
At Dodge, I guess the Matt Adams home run was pretty incredible here.
I was outside of the stadium doing a live shot and I heard the roar, but I remember that Kershaw at bat.
Yeah.
Matt Carpenter fouling off all the pitches.
Oh, I can't remember in LA.
I can't remember the score of that
game. So that was, they were down like 5 or 6 nothing in that game.
I remember
and
that game.
They
was
came
awesome.
Back and had like the 6-run inning off Kershaw, and that's when Harold Reynolds said that they thought they were stealing signs off of Kershaw.
That Pittsburgh game where Michael Wacha in the postseason took the no-hitter
kept him
deep.
Alive.
I can't remember exactly. Maybe
I think
Pedro
that was,
Alvarez hit a homer and Matt Holliday maybe hit
I
a big
I think that
homer.
Was game 4 in Pittsburgh, right? When they were down 2-1 against Liriano and they had to win to come back here, and then Waino won it in game 5.
And I remember that game saying that like the Cardinals pitching staff in that particular game, I believe, was a combination of Wacha, Carlos Martinez, Rosenthal.
Jeez.
And you basically just had three dudes who are all about, what, 21, 22 years old, throwing 100 miles an hour for the whole game.
Last question, and this is something that I ask just about all of our guests, and I think it goes to show two organizations where they're at, but also how hard it is to win in both leagues, or how hard it is to get into the playoffs comparatively. What happens first, another Cardinals World Series or a Blue Stanley Cup?
Oh, man. I'm going to say...
Baseball, you just got to get in, but it's really hard to get in. Hockey, you can know you're in all season and be bounced in the first round. It's crazy.
I know. I just feel like, could you see the Blues if Jake Allen just becomes that guy? They have the superstar in Vladimir Tarasenko. I like the moves the Blues have made, especially retooling the forwards this past offseason. I also just, you know, if you ask me, I just want that for Blues fans.
Yeah.
And of course we want the Cardinals to win another World Series, but this has been one of the best franchises in all of sports, really. And we are spoiled. And we've had tons of playoff games and World Series games and all that. I feel for the Blues fan base. It would be so awesome to watch another run and to see that parade, and no other fan base deserves it more.
I agree. It would be pretty incredible. All right, Charlie Marlowe, Fox 2. Follow him on Twitter at @CharlieMarlowe_. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming to by and chatting.
No problem. Good times. Thanks.
Thank you to Charlie. Thank you to our executive producer, Ben Boyd. Thank you to Mike Anderson, my guy, in the Camo X Studios. Kyle McClellan joined us as well. What a week it's been. We'll see what the next week has to hold before the Strike Zone powered by Graybar, which will be next week at this time, following round one play at Belle Reve for the PGA Championship. Going to be a fun week in St. Louis sports. Cardinals open up a series in Pittsburgh against the Rockies tomorrow, 6:05 first pitch, 5:10. Amarin Total Access, join us for what should be a fun weekend of baseball at PNC Park. Until then, Chris Rabe saying have a wonderful evening. This has been the Strike Zone powered by baseball, and your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.